Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Member by Ram Goldhar and today we're Masechus Ksubis, Daf Mem Hei, the fourth parak, Nar Shini Spasasa. The Zichu Masechus Ksubis program has been generously sponsored as a schus for HaKazachas HaTorah. So the three dafs we're going to focus on, number one, Shiva taught a brice that begins at the bottom of Daf Mem Dalad Amad Beis. Shalosh Midos Benara. There are three types of execution with regard to a Nara who committed adultery as an Arusa. If witnesses came after she was already in her father-in-law's house, meaning after her nisuin, and testified that she committed adultery while she was still in her father's house, as an arusa, sokun osal pesach beis aviyah, we stone her at the entrance of her father's house, as if to say, ro giduim shigidaltim, look at the offspring that you have raised. If witnesses came while she was still in her father's house and testified that she committed adultery while she was still in her father's house, sokun osal pesach sharair, we stone her at the entrance of the city gate. Sarchu b'sof bagra tidum b'chenek. If she sinned as a na'ara and then became a bogeris, she's punished with strangulation. Rashi explains that she's punished with the same punishment that a bogeris who commits adultery receives. For the pasuk says that skila is dictated for a na'ara, and since she went through a status change between the time she sinned and the time she stood trial, she's judged according to her status at the time of conviction. The Gemara will successfully challenge this last ruling and come to amend the brisa that in fact she'll get skila. Pointing to the grass, why should one who is a Nar when she sins but is a Bogeris when she's judged be punished with skila? When the pasuk says, Nara Hamarasa, a betrothed Nara is stoned, and this woman is now a Bogeris. Rabbi Ilah answered, the pasuk says, they shall take Hanara, the Nara, out and stone her. The superfluous, the Nara, implies Hanara Shahis Kvar. She was previously a Nara when she sinned. When Rabbi Hananya said to Rabbi Ilah that if this is so, then one who defames such a woman should also receive malchus and pay 100 slime. Rabbi Ilah responded incredulously, and the Gemara explains the difference. Zo ma'aseh garmula, this one, the woman, her adulterous actions caused her punishment, and when she committed adultery, she was a Nara. Vezeh kimasfasav garmula, while this one, referring to the defamer, the curving of his lips referring to his defamation, caused him to be chayv of punishment, and at the time he spoke, she was already a bogeris. Therefore, he cannot be given the punishment for one who defames a Nara. And point number three was taught in the Braisa, Nar Hamarasa Shazinsa, Sokun Osal Pesach Beisavia, a betrothed Nar that commits adultery, you stone her at the entrance of her father's house. If her father has no house, Sokun Osal Pesach Shara Irahi, we stone her at the entrance of that city's gate where she committed adultery. Ubir Shiruba of the Kokabim, Sokun Osal Pesach Basin, and in a city whose majority are idolaters, we stone her at the entrance of Basin. Similarly, Ha'obed Avodas Kochavim Sokun Oso Ashar Sha'abedbo. One who worships idols, we stone at the gate of the city in which he worshipped, and in a city that is a majority of idol worshippers, we stone him at the entrance of Basin. The Gemara brings us sources for these rulings. So once again, the three points are number one, Shigo Tala Brice that begins at the bottom of Daf Mem Dalad Amud Beis. Shalosh Midos Minara. There are three types of execution with regard to an Ara who committed adultery as an Arusa. If witnesses came after she was already in her father-in-law's house, meaning after her nisuin, and testified that she committed adultery while she was still in her father's house, as an arusa, sokun osal pesach beis aviyah, we stone her at the entrance of her father's house, as if to say, ro giduim shigidaltim, look at the offspring that you have raised. If witnesses came while she was still in her father's house and testified that she committed adultery while she was still in her father's house, sokun osal pesach sharair, we stone her at the entrance of the city gate. Sarchu b'sof bagra tidum b'chenek. If she sinned as a na'ara and then became a bogeris, she's punished with strangulation. Rashi explains that she's punished with the same punishment that a bogeris who commits adultery receives. For the pasuk says that skila is dictated for a na'ara, and since she went through a status change between the time she sinned and the time she stood trial, she's judged according to her status at the time of conviction. The Gemara will successfully challenge this last ruling and come to amend the brisa that in fact she'll get skila. Pointing to the grass, why should one who is a Nar when she sins but is a Bogeris when she's judged be punished with skila? When the pasuk says, Nara Hamarasa, a betrothed Nara is stoned, and this woman is now a Bogeris. Rabbi Ilah answered, the pasuk says, they shall take Hanara, the Nara, out and stone her. The superfluous, the Nara, implies Hanara Shahis Kvar. She was previously a Nara when she sinned. When Rabbi Hananya said to Rabbi Ilah that if this is so, then one who defames such a woman should also receive malchus and pay 100 slime. Rabbi Ilah responded incredulously, and the Gemara explains the difference. Zo ma'aseh garmula, this one, the woman, her adulterous actions caused her punishment, and when she committed adultery, she was a Nara. Vezeh kimasfasav garmula, while this one, referring to the defamer, the curving of his lips referring to his defamation, caused him to be chayv of punishment, and at the time he spoke, she was already a bogeris. Therefore, he cannot be given the punishment for one who defames a Nara. And point number three, was taught in the Braisa, Nar Hamarasa Shazinsa, Sokun Osal Pesach Beisavia, a betrothed Nar that commits adultery, stoned her at the entrance of her father's house. If her father has no house, Sokun Osal Pesach Shara Irei, we stone her at the entrance of that city's gate where she committed adultery. Ubir Sharuba of the Kochavim, Sokun Osal Pesach Basin, and in a city whose majority are idolaters, we stone her at the entrance of Basin. Similarly, Ha'obed Avodas Kochavim, Sokun Osal Ashar Sha'abedbo, one who worships idols, we stone at the gate of the city in which he worshipped, and in a city that is a majority of idol worshippers, we stone him at the entrance of Basin. The Gemara brings us sources for these rulings. All right, so now we go to our Simon Daf Mem Hey, and our standard Simon is Monopoly, the game Monopoly, Monopoly, Mem Hey. So here goes. The three Na'aras playing execution Monopoly and trying not to land on father's house, city gate, or tight neck. We're joined by a defamed Nara who became a Bagaris, who was upset her accuser did not have to pay the Kanas, and who had just come from a town with a majority of idolaters, where stoning was done at the entrance of Basin. So once again, in slow motion, the three Naras playing execution Monopoly, Monopoly, that must be more in Duff, Mem Hey. The three Naras playing execution Monopoly and trying not to land on father's house, city gate, or tight neck, which reminds us Sheila taught a brisa that taught Shosh Midos Benara. There are three types of execution with regard to a Nara who committed adultery as an Arusa, dependent on when the witnesses came to testify against her and how old she was at the time of the conviction. So the three Naras playing execution Monopoly and trying not to land on father's house, city gate, or tight neck were joined by a defamed Na'ara who became a Bagaris who was upset her accuser did not have to pay the Kanas, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that in the case of a Na'ar Marasu who was a Na'ara when she sinned, but a Bagaris when she was judged, she gets skill because her adulterous actions caused her punishment, and when she committed adultery, she was a Na'ara. Whereas in the case of the defamer Akimus Fas of Garmulo, the curving of his lips referring to his defamation caused him to be chayav of punishment, and at the time he spoke, she was already a Bagaris. Therefore, he cannot be given the punishment for one who defames a Na'ara. So the three Na'aras playing execution Monopoly and try not to land on father's house, city gate, or tight neck were joined by a defamed Na'ara who became a Bagaris, who was upset her accuser did not have to pay the Kanas, and who had just come from a town with a majority of idolaters where stoning was done at the entrance of Basin. Which reminds us, it was Tana Brisa, a Na'ar Marasa that commits adultery, we stone her at the entrance of her father's house. If her father has no house, we stone her at the entrance of the city's gate where she committed the adultery, and in a city with a majority of idolaters, we stone her at the entrance of Basin. Once again, in slow motion. The three Na'aras playing execution Monopoly and trying not to land on father's house, city gate, or tight neck were joined by a defamed Na'ara who became a Bulgaris, who was upset her accuser did not have to pay the Kanas, and who had just come from a town with a majority of idolaters, where stoning was done at the entrance of Basin. All right, now it's time for four blah back Chazara. Daf Memalv. So the simmer Daf Memalv is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma. That must be more in Daf Memalv. The grandma who told Basin she would certainly object if they let a mafata ruin her granddaughter's wonderful reputation, which reminds us, the next mission which states, the one who says, I seduced Pony's daughter, pays for Bosh's begum, but does not pay the knus, does not go according to the Tana of a price we taught, that a mafatu confesses, even Bosh's begum he doesn't have to pay, for he's not believed to discredit the daughter of Pony. But Papa asked the Baya, what would be the halach if it was acceptable to the girl to suffer a bad reputation in order to receive the Bosh's begum? And the Gemara answers, that perhaps it's not acceptable to her father. And even if it was, perhaps it's not acceptable to members of the family. Rashi explains that it's not for Basin to do something that will sustain the family's embarrassment. And even if it was acceptable to them, it's impossible there's not one family member in a distant land for whom it's not acceptable. So the grandma who told Basin she would certainly object if they let a mafata ruin her granddaughter's wonderful reputation was incensed when Basin informed her she owed Chetzi Nezik as a kanas because her ox gored, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchokas regarding Chetzi Nezik, half damages which are paid when a short time damages. Rav Papa said, Palganiska Mamona, half damages are payment of damages, where Rav Huda Rav Yeshua says, Palganiska Kanasa, half damages are kanas. So the grandma told Basin she would certainly object if they let a mafata ruin her granddaughter's wonderful reputation. Was incensed when Basin informed her she owed Chetzi Nezik as a kanas because her ox gored, and that she had a court date in Eretz Yisrael because her kitty cat was a killer and eating large chickens, which reminds us. The Gemara states that now that it has been established that Chetzi Nezik is a kanas, in the case of a dog that killed and ate a sheep, or a cat that killed and ate large chickens, it's a case of unusual damage and we do not collect it in Bavel. Collection of kanas requires dayanim with smicha, and smicha can only be given in Eretz Yisrael. But if the damaged party sees property of the owner of the dog or cat, we do not take it away from him. And if the damaged party said to Basin, set up date for me to go to Eretz Yisrael to present the case in Basin with Dayanim, who have smicha, the courts set a date for him. And if the damager doesn't go by that date, mishamtinimle, we place a ban on him. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simra Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster's son's mobster. That must mean we're in Daf Mem Beis. The mobster's sons who watched their father die in rage when he learned that the Ma'anis who admitted after he swore was Pater, which reminds us, it was taught in the Mishnah in Shavuos. If one says to another, Anastu Batisa is biti, you violated my daughter or you seduced my daughter, and the defendant responds that he did not, and the father makes him swear, and afterwards the defendant admits that he violated or seduced her and that he had sworn falsely, he's chayav to pay the claim and an additional fifth and bring an ushim. But Rav Shimon exempts him. She'enu mishalem knas al pi asma, for the din is that one does not pay a knas by his own admission. The Chami said to him that even though he doesn't pay kenas by his own admission, he does pay for Boshu's Bagam by his own admission, since his denial has a monetary consequence. He is chayv anashim for his false oath. So the mobster's sons who watched their father die in rage when he learned that the Ma'anis who admitted after he swore was Pater were hoping that they would inherit another uncollected 50 shekel kenas, which reminds us, Abai asks his Rebbe, Rabba, one who says to another that you violated or seduced my daughter and I sued you in Basin, and you were obligated to pay me money, referring to the 15 shekel kenas, and the defendant denies it all, swears, and then later confesses that he swore falsely, what's the law according to Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi says that, in fact, Rabbi Shimon does not treat a kenas after conviction as money. And when he said that Rabbi Shimon does treat it as money, Horisha Levana, it was with respect to bequeathing it to his sons. So the mobster's sons who watched their father die in rage when he learned that the Ma'anis, who admitted after he swore, was Pater, were hoping that they would inherit another uncollected 50 shekel kenas, but were informed that a father is only entitled to a kenas when it is actually given to him. Which reminds me of Yosef explained that in the case of Onus and Mefata, the Pasuk states, V'nasana isha shochev ima l'avi hanara chamishim kesef. The man who lay with her shall give the father of the girl 50 silver pieces. Lozik satora la'av el mashas nesina. The Torah did not entitle the father to the kenas until the moment it is actually given to him. When Rabbi said that a fine after conviction is considered money with respect to bequeathing it to his sons, Bashar kenasos, it was with respect to other fine. Daf Mem Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The daughter whose room was filled with all the magazines she bought with the money she made after her father's death, which reminds us, Rav Avina asked Rav Sheshes, a daughter is being supported by her brothers from her father's estate, to whom do her earnings belong? Rav Sheshes answered they belong to the brothers, but Rav Yosef challenged him, which Rav explains is based on a mission from which he learned, Masi Yadea Kemitzi Asa, that her earnings are like what she finds, just as what she finds during her father's lifetime belongs to him, and what she finds after her father's death belongs to her, so to what she earns during his lifetime belongs to the father, but after his death belongs to her. So the daughter whose room was filled with all the magazines she bought, with the money she made after her father's death, had the Evakanani who was bequeathed to her brothers keep them tidy, which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rav, a daughter who is being supported from the estate by her brothers, her earnings belong to her, for it was written in regard to an Evakanani, V'isnachaltem osam livnechem acharehem, you shall keep them in your possession for your children after you to inherit. This implies only they are passed on as a heritage to your children, but your daughters are not passed on as a heritage to your children. Magid she'ein adam morish zuchus bito livno. This tells us that a person does not bequeath to his son the rights that the Torah grants him in his daughter. So the daughter whose room was filled with all the magazines she bought, with the money she made after her father's death, had the Evakanani who was bequeathed to her brothers keep them tidy, who she tipped using the money she received from two kasubas after her father had married her off twice. Which reminds us, the next mission states that if one gave his daughter, who is a katana or a nara, in erison, and the chassan divorced her before nisuin, and then the father gave her over a second time, and she was widowed before nisuin, her ksuba from both marriages belonged to the father. If he gave her in nisuin, and the chassan divorced her, and the father gave her in nisuin a second time, and she was widowed, ksubasa shalah, the ksuba from both marriages belonged to her. Rabbi Yehuda says, harishona shalav, the first ksuba belongs to the father. The Gemara explains the Malchokas. Daf Mem Dalad. So the Simver Daf Mem Dalad is mud. So here goes. The two stars for one field dated one after the other, lying in the mud. Mud? That must be more in Daf Mem Dalad. The two stars for one field dated one after the other, lying in the mud, which reminds of Rav Nachman said, Shnei shtaros hayotzim bezeach hazeh bitul shenius harishon. Two shtaros are for one field, and one is dated after the other. The second shtar nullifies the first. The Gemara asks what the reason is that the first shtar is batul, and Rafam said that we say the recipient admitted to him that the first shtar was invalid. And Rashi explains that by acknowledging the need for a second shtar, the recipient is admitting the first shtar was a fraudulent. Rav Acha said that we say the recipient graciously waived the lien that is inherent in the first deed. If the land is seized, he's limited to collecting from lands sold after the date in the second shtar. The Gemara brings three nafka minas between the two reasons, the disqualification of the witnesses, the repayment of fruits eaten, and payment of the property tax. So the two shtars for one field dated one after the other, lying in the mud, were discovered by a Nar HaMarasa, who was not conceived in Kedusha, but her birth was in Kedusha, which reminds us that we learned that a Nar HaMarasa, if conception was not in Kedusha, meaning that it was before her mother converted, but her birth was in Kedusha, meaning after her mother converted, Harzo B'Skila, she's Chayv Skila, but she's not subject to stoning by the entrance of her father's house, since her father's a Jewish, nor is she entitled to the 100 sela fine if her husband is found to be lying about her. The Gemara learns that the superfluous word Umesa, and she shall die, is coming to include one who's not conceived in Kedusha, but was born in Kedusha for Skila. And when the Gemara asks why this does not teach us that if her husband is found guilty of trying to defame her, he should be lashed and have to pay the fine, it answers Umesa, and she shall die. Lamisa nisrabsa v'lovo kenas. She was included for the death penalty, but not for the fine. So the two shtars for one field dated one after the other, lying in the mud, were discovered by Nar HaMarasa, who was not conceived in Kedusha, but her birth was in Kedusha. When she noticed a young orphan girl sitting in the mud and crying because the one who defamed her didn't have to pay the kanas. Which reminds us, we have machlokes whether a motzi shemra al yasoma is pater, whether one who defames an orphan girl is pater from paying the fine. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our 10-question pop quiz. Number 1. Which dafti machlokes hachamim Rabbi Yehuda if a girl was married off twice, whether she gets both ksubas or her father gets the money from the first one, that's on daf? Mem Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which stuff when according to one Tana, a Mafatu confesses, does not pay Poshas of a gum because Beis Din does not give him a platform to ruin the girl's reputation? That's on Dav. Mem Aleph. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we learn two different reasons as to why, when there are two stars on the same field, the second star is Mevatel the first one? That's on Dav. Mem Dalad. Good. Number 4. Which of the one the Rebbe Shiva taught there were Shosh Midos Benara, three types of execution for a Nar Marasa who committed adultery? That's on Dav. Mem Hey. Good. Number 5. Which Dav Rebbe Machokes whether one who defames a Yasoma is Pater from paying the fine? That's on Dav. Mem Dalad. Good. Number 6. Which of the one a Nar Marasa Shoharasa Lahisuba Kedusha? Vleidasba Kedusha gets Skila, but her defamer, if found guilty, does not pay the fine. That's on Dav. Mem Dalad. Good. Number 7. Which of the when a daughter's earnings after her father's death is like that which she finds after his death? Just as she keeps what she finds, she keeps what she earns. That's on Dav. Mem Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which of the when the Rabbah said that Rabbi Shimon treats a kanas as money with regards to bequeathing it to one's sons? That's on Dav. Membeis. Good. Number 9. Which of the one a Nara who's a Bulgaris at the time of her conviction gets Skila, but her defamer, if found guilty, does not pay the fine? That's on Dav. Memhei. Good. And number 10. Which of the one that in a town that is rove idolaters, the Nara Marasi gets stoned by the entrance of Beis Din? That's on Dav. Memhei. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldham Zich wishing you a great day and great learning.